2 Timothy chapter number 1. All right, I'm glad you guys are. Good to be here this morning. All right. Well, let's go ahead and read verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 7 this morning. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Again, let's pray before we get going in here this morning. Lord, again, what a privilege it is to be able to teach from your word. God, I pray that you, again, minister to our hearts. I pray for our classes who have just gathered together. God, I pray that you just give every teacher the wisdom to bring forth your word as they prepared for this week, the things that you have laid upon their heart to teach these young people. I pray, Lord, that every young person would just be attentive to your word. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. Last week we saw that Paul, just a little bit of review, Paul was called by God. He wasn't called by man, he was called by God. And the reason why he was called by God, because it was his will to do so. The calling was to continue the spreading of the gospel. And folks, we ought to be privileged or feel privileged this morning that God wants to use us to further the gospel here upon the earth. Throughout the years, it has changed so many lives. We can look around here this morning and we can see how lives have been changed, how lives have been transformed by the Word of God. Why is that? Because the Word of God is powerful. And I know for a fact it's changed my life. And I hope that it has changed your life. Let me say this. If it's changed your life, say amen this morning. Amen. Okay. Why do you say that? Because I want to make sure you guys are awake this morning. So the Word of God has changed so many lives. And it will continue to do so until God calls us home. Paul had a special relationship. Today we're going to talk about a sweet love between Paul and Timothy. We focused last week on verse number 1. We spent a great deal of time of the meaning of verse number 1, but now we're going to go down and try to get through verse number 7 this morning. But we're going to talk about a relationship with Timothy, which so many today could be jealous of. Paul considered Timothy to be his what? His son, exactly. He wasn't his biological son, but his son in the faith. This, again, became possible because of the gospel of Christ. You see the bond that was able to take place between two men that wouldn't have been able to take place before if it wasn't for the gospel. So you see how powerful and how necessary the Word of God is. This morning we will look at a few unique things about their relationship and a main message given by Paul to Timothy. With the help of Scripture this morning, I hope that we've become more like Paul in this area to others, that God has and will bring into our lives. God brings many people in our lives for a reason, so that we can be an influence to them. Unfortunately, we don't take advantage of those opportunities. We bypass those and we let other people jump on that bandwagon and we miss out on forming some good relationships. For this to even take place, we all need, and I hope you get this morning, we all need to be willing to invest our time into the lives of each other. Think about where you'd be today if nobody took the time to invest in you. Why, your life could probably be chaos. You might have a different outcome. Some might not even be in here this morning if it wasn't for somebody stepping out of their comfort zone and taking that time to invest their time into you. That might not sound like a big deal to some people, but it is a big deal because some people have families that they are committed to, spouses, children that they want to do things with. And so they're willing to sacrifice some of that time with them, time that they will never get back. Time is very precious. And they'll take that time and they'll invest it into the lives of others so that they can be a positive influence upon them. And that's exactly what Paul was to Timothy. Paul was taking time out of his life to invest some time into him, to help him down the road. And one of the reasons why Paul took this time for Timothy, not just for Timothy, but for Titus as well, because Paul's time was short. Paul didn't have very much time left in his life, and he was going to give whatever energy that he had to give to Timothy. In verse number 2, I want you to notice how Paul addresses Timothy, and he only does this in another pastoral epistle here. The rest of the epistles, Paul says this, grace and peace. But in verse number 2, it says, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy. Did you guys catch that? Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Why did Paul throw mercy in here? Have we ever noticed that before? Or have we just opened up our Bible, we just read some things to soothe our conscience, to say that we read the Word of God, and nothing really stuck out that moment or in that morning, and we close it and we go about our day. But God, Paul says, grace, mercy, and peace. I believe Paul did this because pastors, preachers, missionaries, and evangelists, and I'll even put teachers in there as well, need more mercy than the rest of God's people. And hopefully I can show this to you here shortly. I'm going to read a quote from Spurgeon I found this week. This is from Spurgeon. It says this, did you ever notice this one thing about Christian ministers? That they need even more mercy than other people. Although everybody needs mercy, ministers need it more than anybody else, and so we do. For if, look at this, think about this, for if we are not faithful, we shall be greater sinners even than our hearers. I begin to think about this week, and there is so much truth in this. I'm going to finish this quote here. It says, and it needs much grace for us always to be faithful, and much more mercy will be required to cover our shortcomings. So I shall take these three things to myself, grace, mercy, and peace. You may have the two, grace and peace, but I need more mercy than any of you. End of quote. There's a lot of truth in that statement that Spurgeon wrote out here. He continues to go on. I wasn't finished. My bad. So I take it from my Lord's loving hand, and I will trust and not be afraid, despite all my shortcomings and feebleness and blunders and mistakes in the course of my whole ministry. End of quote. I promise you this time. Pastors and preachers are the most criticized people in the church. You might not be aware of that, but they are the most criticized people in a church. Why is that? Because they are out in the open, and the only way I can think of is this, they're being human. And how do you know that pastors are the most criticized? Because I'm going to be honest with you, I'm going to go off script here. This isn't even in my notes. But I can go back years ago in my life where I sat right over there for many years along with my wife, and I began to criticize my own father for the things that he would say. And I would criticize him for the things that he would do. And the reason why I would do those things is because I put myself up on a pedestal and I look down at my father and say, no, you're wrong in this area. You know what I come to find out later on in life? I'm the one who's wrong and God's the one who's right. And I hope we can get that through our thick heads this morning. But I sat there and I criticized him for everything that he would do. It came to a point, and I kid you not, not many people knew about this, but it came to a point where I actually, and my wife, walked out of the services. You talk about being critical. And I'm here to say to this day that I was wrong. Because why have I become so critical of another preacher? And I will do this on other occasions when I'll go and sit in a church where I'm just a guest. And as they're reading something or saying something, I will mouth something to my wife. Folks, I'm in no position to criticize a man of God. What God's laid upon his heart is up to God. But criticism ruins many people. And because of this, we as God's people need to have more mercy on them. We truly do. We forget that they're human. We forget that they make mistakes. We forget those things. But we don't look at it that way because we think so highly of ourselves. And when we begin to think so highly of ourselves, we become critical in our life. And I sat there for many years criticizing. Why? Because I thought I was better. I thought I can do better. I thought that I can speak better. I thought I can pull out more truth. The fact of the matter is, my criticism was wrong. But that's what we do. God's men who stand behind a pulpit need the mercy, and not only of God, but they need the mercy of people that they preach to. Why? Because they make mistakes. I've heard people say, I've never made mistakes. Mistake right there. You just became a liar. Chad, you sound like you're being harsh this morning. No, it's just, I heard a word last night. No, it's reality. It's reality. We are so critical because we think so highly of ourselves. And we think inside of our hearts that we can do it better. So I'm going to give you a little message this morning. You ready for this? Get over yourself. Amen? I feel sorry for new pastors that are just starting out in their early 20s or 30s. And I feel sorry for this reason, because the attacks will come upon them. They will become discouraged. They will become depressed. They will feel as if their calling wasn't real in their life. And they'll walk away from the ministry. Why? Because people aren't willing to show mercy. We as people become ruthless, we criticize, and we don't give any mercy at all. Do you not appreciate it when folks show you mercy? I shared with you a few years ago, I know I'm going to take a little bit long on this, but I shared with you a few years ago, it was very difficult for me growing up in a pastor's home because, one, not only was he my father, and my siblings can testify to this. Jeff and I were talked about this a while ago. One, he was my father. Two, he was my pastor. Three, he was my principal. Fourth, he was my disciplinary person as well. I couldn't escape from this guy. And I remember one time that we were in school, I did something wrong that I shouldn't have done. And as Dad came down to hand out the punishment right over here, these doors, I took off. You know, I wasn't the brightest of kid, but I can read, and I saw exit right there, and I knew exactly what that meant, and I knew those doors, if I pushed on it, it would open. And so I opened that door, and I ran. I ran like Forrest Gump, man. I ain't kidding you. I just kept running. I finally ran around the block, and I came through his backyard. We used to have windows right back there, and I know I've told this story before, but those windows stood my dad. And he's looking at me. And I just begin to walk toward his direction. I knew what was going to take place in my mind. I knew that I was going to get the worst beating of my life. I knew as soon as I walked in here that my dad was going to get up to the batter's box. He was going to dig his foot into the ground, and he was going to get ready to give me the whooping of my life. But you know what my dad did that day that surprised me? My dad, that day, as soon as I walked in these doors, threw out his arms, and I was able to walk in. And he embraced me and gave me a hug. You know what he did? He showed me mercy. Folks, that's what we need to do. We need to show people mercy. If you're with me this morning, please say amen. Amen. Paul made it a point, as we continue to move on, to have Timothy to be prayed for. Verse number 3, it says, I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, and without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, when? Night and day. Timothy was on the mind of Paul, not just for a few hours out of the day. It says night and day. And he prayed for him consistently. It says without ceasing. This seems to be a routine that Paul was in, and this is a good routine, lifting up his dear friend to God daily. You know, it's amazing, and it's a wonderful experience to have people call you or to have people text you, and they say these words, or they might even send you an email, and they'll say, hey, I'm lifting you up in prayer today. Hey, is there anything that I can be specific in God when I go to him in prayer so that I can pray for you specifically? Is there something that's bothering you in your life? Is there something that's upsetting you? Is there something that's troubling you that I can pray for? And if there's not, is there a way that I can pray that God will just bestow his blessing upon you? Folks, that is amazing to have somebody want to lift you up in prayer. It's a good routine to have. Paul prayed for him because he knew of the difficulties of being a preacher. And he knew that Timothy would want to call it quits at times. You know, most pastors, most preachers, when they get done preaching on Sunday, and I kid you not, they wake up Monday morning wanting to quit. Because so many things happen throughout the day on Sunday. As they're up there throughout the week preparing a message that God has laid upon their heart to give to God's people, they step behind the pulpit, they give it their best, but they become the most criticized person in church. And on Monday morning, they feel defeat and they want to walk away. And unfortunately, some do. But I thank God for the men who have the courage and have the grit to stand in place and not let those things get them off course, not let those things get them off the path that God has called them to, and they stick it out. So Paul knew of the difficulties of being a preacher. He didn't want him to quit. He didn't want him to become discouraged. And the best way he knew what he could do for Timothy was to pray for him. We prayed for Rachel here just a little while ago. Rachel made me aware of her situation probably about 2 months ago. I didn't know what was going on with her. And she told me, she enlightened me with her situation. I still don't know a whole lot of it. But Jalen, she informed me even more what they're doing to you tomorrow. It's good to have a nursing student in the house because I know what they're going to do to you. But one of the things that I have done since she's told me, she's been on my prayer list even more. Praying specifically for this surgery that's taken place. Why? One, because I know she's discouraged about it. Two, there's a little fear going in there. Whenever you have a surgery, there's fear. It doesn't matter how simple or how major it is, there is fear. Every time I got my heart shocked, they put me out, I was scared. Think about it. I was going to become a piece of sausage on a table. They're going to put those electrical things on my chest and on my back, and they're going to shock me. I'm just going to be flopping around like a wild piece of sausage forever how long, and hopefully come through. It's scary. And so it's good to be in prayer for one another. Paul did this for Timothy night and day. It is so encouraging, as I said a little while ago, to know that people take the time to lift you up in prayer. And we all need it. We all need it. Shelly, she's reached out to me this week. Her family's gone through a rough time. Her nephew that she brings here on occasion with her, his grandma passed away this Tuesday night. Her family needs prayer. They're going through a difficult time. And why are you saying this? Because most of us in here don't know of her situation. And wouldn't it be nice, Shelly, as we leave here today, knowing people are going to lift you and your family up in prayer? Because discouragement comes our way. Paul knew Timothy was going to face some difficult times. And this, people, this is what love does. This is what love provokes us to do for other people that we care about. We want to lift them up in prayer. So it's encouraging to have people in your corner wanting to lift you up in prayer. And we all need to be praying for others. So often we focus on what we need. God, I need this need provided. I need that need provided. God, could you meet this other need that I forgot to mention? But we don't take the time to pray for others. I would encourage you to do those things. I covet your prayers. If it weren't for your prayers, this time in my family's life would be very hard and very difficult to get through. And some might say, Chad, you seem to be doing pretty good. You want to know why I'm doing pretty good? Because I know you folks are praying for me. And I know you're praying for my sisters. I know you're praying for my mom and my brother. I know you're doing those things. And it makes each day better. And I love that. Second, I know where our Father's at. He's dancing up in heaven this morning. He ain't bound to no wheelchair no more. He ain't bound to dependent upon people to pick him up and do things for him. Man, he's roaming free. And that excites me. But prayer gets us through those difficult times in our lives. Paul is to be admired for wanting to do the most for Jesus that he could wherever he was at. If he could not preach, then Paul would pray. And where did Paul spend a majority of his time? He spent a majority of his time in prison. And even during those times, Paul would still take the time to encourage himself in the Lord, and Paul would still take the time to lift others up in prayer. The next thing that I see is Paul had a tremendous desire to see Timothy. Verse number 4 says, "Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy." There are those people that God brings into our life to where your heart aches to be around them. And you folks know what I'm talking about. We have special bond, we have special relationships with people, and our heart aches just to be around them. You know, when I first went to Israel, I had a tremendous bond with the group of people that I went with. It's a bond that I can't describe. It's a bond that I can't explain because of the things that we experienced while we're there in Israel. And ever since then, my heart has ached to be around them. I spent 12 days with them. You form relationships. And then as I went the second time, the same group of people went. And to this day, I still have an ache to be with them. But Paul remembered the tears that Timothy shed when they parted from each other. To be apart from Paul was very hard for Timothy. And we all know how that feels to be apart from people that we love. But Paul was also filled with joy because of the faith of men like Timothy. Paul was genuinely happy. Look what it says here in verse number 4. It says, "Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with" what? With joy. Joy means you're happy. Joy means you have a smile on your face. And I want to throw an egg at the person this morning that told me to put a smile on my face. Uncle Greg. As I'm walking over this morning, he says, "Chad, it wouldn't kill you to put a smile on your face." He's right. It wouldn't kill me. I just thought it was funny coming from a guy who's frowning. But there, Grandma just got in the bus and drove it backwards. But there's true happiness when there's joy in your life. And Paul was filled with joy. He was filled with joy. Why? Because of the faith of Timothy. He was genuinely happy. Happy even though he spent a majority of his time in jail, even though he spent a majority of his time being pursued by people after him. He was filled with joy even though people were desiring to kill him. And he was filled with joy for this reason, because he knew that what he was teaching Timothy and what he was teaching Titus, I'm throwing Titus in here as well, the joy thrilled him so much because he knew that after his passing, the teaching and the furthering of the gospel will continue. Folks, that's exciting. You know what that's a result of? I'm going to give us a plug for something that we're going to do here again in the fall. It's a result of discipleship. That's what it is. You can't tell me discipling other believers is not important. Because if we don't take the time to disciple, who is going to teach after we're gone? It's important to do those things. Amen? So we continue to go on here. It was joyful to know that Timothy loved and served Jesus, not only serving Jesus, but he served his people. And this is important to say here because some pastors have no love for the people that they are called to minister to. What do you mean? Some pastors are just in it for the paycheck. Some pastors are just in it to show their wealth of knowledge. A pastor can have all the wealth of knowledge that he has, but if he has no love for me, I wouldn't want to be underneath him. That's just me personally. That's just how I feel about those things. So some, it's just become a job, it's just become a check, and they will move on if the check becomes bigger. I've seen that take place. Where did Timothy's faith come from? Well, let's continue to move on. Verse number 5, it says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also." It came from his godly upbringing and the influence of his grandmother and of his mother. Some of you in here this morning, you've surpassed the stage of being a parent. By the way, I know that as you've gotten older, your kids have gotten older, it doesn't matter. You're still parenting. You're still offering advice. You're still offering wisdom. But then you come into another stage of life, and that's called being a grandparent. I'm not there yet, and hopefully I won't be there for another 10, 15 years. That's just me. But I know it's going to happen one of these days. And I will be thrilled when it does happen. But do you see the impact that you can have for your grandkids? Now think about this. My wife's not in here right now. I don't know where she's at. I don't know if she got mad at me and took off. I don't know. But I can testify this morning, I know why she is here. Because it came from a grandmother of hers that had such a love for Jesus Christ that it spilled over into the whole family. And she caught that. And she knew that she could not live, and you've heard his testimony. She thought for many years that she can live and get into heaven because of her grandmother's faith. But because of her grandmother's faith, she was able to see the unconditional love of Jesus Christ, and she accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. Don't tell me this morning that old people don't have an influence on younger people, because they do. I love being around the elderly. And I know I kid you folks a lot for your age. That's just how I am. I like to let you know that I'm younger than you. And you might laugh. Well, Chad, you have more white hair than I do. Yes, I understand those things. Again, comes from my wife. But anyway, you can have a tremendous influence on young people. Just imagine the impact that you can have on the life of people. His grandmother, Lois, was able to be a witness to her daughter, and her daughter was able to be a witness to her son, Timothy. You can have an impact on somebody's life. I talk about it even to this day. A lady that was in our church years ago who had a tremendous impact on my life, and that was Mrs. Hager. Some know of her. Some of you have never heard of her. But she had a tremendous impact on my life. There's another lady that had an impact on my life, and I didn't know her that much as a young person, but she did something for me that I will never, ever forget, and that was Mrs. Miracle. Again, some of you don't know her, but some do. Mrs. Miracle took the time to include me in with my brother Wayne for an activity that he missed out on for some reason. I don't know why, but it was in our old storefront building on 33rd and Avenue A. And she brought me into this, and I'll never forget this. We made imprints of our hands in the clay. And I can still see the things that we did in my mind. I can still see the pack of M&Ms that she gave me. And why do I say those things? Because she made an impact on my life. It was a tremendous influence. We can be that influence into somebody else's life. Paul met Timothy on his family and his family during his first missionary journey. While he was pretty much stoned to death. Why was he almost stoned to death? Because people hated the fact that he was teaching the Word of God. They didn't like the fact that he would go from city to city and continue to teach the Word of God. But this is where Paul became acquainted with Timothy and his family. But during that time, even though he was almost stoned to death, his life was still preserved and he was still able to go forth into the world and do things. But it wasn't until his second missionary journey that Paul again met up with Timothy. And this is a time in his life where he took more interest in him, and he began to mentor and he began to disciple Timothy. Think about the impact that you can have on the life of a young person. Some might not agree with what we're doing on Wednesday night, but I will tell you this. Young people's lives have been impacted because adults are taking the time to invest of themselves into them and to let them know not only does God love them and care for them, but they love and care for them as well. And you know what that's going to do? That's going to encourage the next generation of young people to stick around, to stay in church, and to continue to carry and pass the torch along as we're called into heaven. Folks, that's exciting to me. It's encouraging to see these young people just walking in here, being excited. Yeah, they're loud, and yeah, they might be obnoxious, and it might seem that you can't control them, but you got to remember what we are like when we were younger people. But they're here because they're seeing and they're feeling the love from the adults. The impact of Grandmother Lois, the impact of Mother Eunice, was real in the life of Timothy. And Timothy was able to be around when Paul came in. And when Paul left, guess who's carrying it on? Young man Timothy. Your influence, your desire to be involved in the life of a young person can be life-changing. It can be life-changing. And I hope that you see the need to invest of your time into young people. I've gotten to know Rose's grandkids a lot better. Frank, Adeline, and the next one I just got to know is London. Pray for London for just some decisions that she needs to make in her life. And I sit back, and as I've already had this prepared before we even talk Wednesday night. This is a grandma who's having an influence on her grandkids' life. Folks, that's what we need to do. And I hope that we can catch this. But how are we going to get there? Well, first of all, we got to show love. We got to show love towards people. Second of all, after we begin to show love, we need to have a desire to be around each other. Paul had a desire to be around Timothy. He missed him dearly. Third, if you didn't catch it, we need to be lifting each other up in prayer. Not just whenever we feel like it, but Paul did this for Timothy night and day. He did it without ceasing. And so we need to have that desire to care enough for somebody so much that they're on our minds and we lift them up in prayer. I don't think that's too hard or too much to ask for. Matter of fact, I think we fail in this area. You know, we don't know what people are going through, but we can be an encouragement to them by just lifting them up in prayer. So let's do that this morning. I know some people this morning that are going through some things that need our prayers. They need our love. They need our support. And they need us investing our time into them. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, I pray today for Shelly and her family that you would just give them grace and peace during this time of heartache. Lord, I pray for Shelly that you give her the wisdom, the discernment, and the opportunities to speak to her family about the goodness of you and what you can do in her life. Lord, I pray this morning again for Rachel, that you just again protect her, guide the surgeon's hands tomorrow. Lord, just give her peace as she goes in. And Lord, we pray for a quick healing, a quick recovery. Lord, I pray for Carrie's stepmom, Arlene, and the situation that she is in. God, I pray that you just, Lord, if it be your will to bring healing to her body, Lord, if that's not the case, then we pray that your will be done and taking her home quickly to be with you. Lord, this morning, as I look around, I think of Mrs. Thurlow, who was had a stay in a hospital a few weeks ago. We ask you continue to give her strength in healing her body. Lord, I see Mr. Nelson this morning here without his wife, and Lord, that's unusual. So Lord, I pray for Mrs. Nelson this morning that you would just give her healing in her body. Lord, that we would be able to see her once again. And Lord, I just I pray, Lord, that you just continue to bring people to our minds, not only throughout today, but throughout this week, to where we can just begin to lift each other up in prayer. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity that we've had to be together, to fellowship with one another, and I pray that you just bless in the next hour to come, and we ask it in your name. Amen.